Anyone who's learned Mandarin will be familiar with how encouraging Chinese people tend to be towards those of us who take an interest in their language. For the most part, this is great. All we have to do is say ni hao in order to be showered with praise and encouragement. But at times, it can also be quite tricky to navigate the unwritten rules of Chinese polite culture. To the new Mandarin learner, it isn't always clear when praise is sincere as opposed to merely small talk. Throughout my learning experience, I've also found it a challenge to get honest feedback on my Mandarin, as opposed to exaggerated and undeserved praise. So on today's podcast, I invited three of my language buddies to explore how Chinese politeness can impact language learners in both positive and negative ways. Okay, so welcome everybody to the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast, a very special edition today. We're going to do something a bit different today, which is a panel show. And I have four very distinguished guests with me today. So I would like you all to kind of introduce yourselves first and tell the audience a bit about yourself. So Helen, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. My name is Helen. I've been studying Chinese for about 10 years now. But don't if you think that I'm, wow, she must be good. No, it's not like that. Most of the time it was like struggle with the characters and I tried to be fluent, and that led me to China after 5 years at the university in Ukraine. And I loved it there. And as soon as I got there, I realized, wow, the level that I have is enough to survive, talk to people like for everyday life. So I kind of gave up and started just enjoying life there. And here I am 10 years later.
Okay, hello everyone. I'm Mina. I'm currently a visiting PhD student at University of Leeds. And I met Misha with our mutual friend who is now go back to China. So I'm also a native Chinese. And it is not until I met Misha that I know there are so many foreigners who care about and spending a lot of time and energy in learning Mandarin, which is actually kind of a surprise for me. So I'd be glad here today to talk with you guys about something about Mandarin learning from the perspective of a native Chinese.
Hi, I'm Catherine, and I'm an MA student in the University of Leeds. I study translation and interpreting, so I am quite into the cultural exchange and language exchange then. Well, I think it's really interesting that people who learn different languages can encounter like similar problems, but also different ones. And such kind of comparison, both between cultures and between languages, are really intriguing. So I am really honored to meet like-minded people to learn new languages and to talk about what we experience during the journey.
The topic for today's discussion is all about the culture of politeness in China and how that impacts on people who are learning Chinese or have learned Chinese, like me and Helen. So I recently tweeted out a tweet with a screenshot where I just basically typed ni hao to a Chinese tandem exchange partner. This was the first thing that he'd ever seen me write or heard me say. He hadn't even heard me say it. It was just typed. And his response was to say, ni de zhongwen bu cuo, peng you. So like I tweeted out saying, you know, Chinese people, because this was not the first time that had happened, you know, like a Chinese person saying, wow, your Chinese is great, like from me just typing hello. And I kind of found this quite an interesting thing, and also chimed with lots of my experiences of Chinese people constantly showering me with praise and like exaggerating the level of my Chinese. And so this was quite popular on Twitter, and there was a variety of reactions. But when I got talking to you, Helen, you told me that you had quite similar reactions when you first started learning Chinese.
Yeah, sure. Like every time you meet people are extremely nice and they want to support you, because they know, like when they see foreigners, they want to talk to you, they want to know you better. So of course, the first thing that you want to do, you want to show that, yeah, I'm speaking Chinese as well, I'm trying. So then you say like ni hao, and then wow, your Chinese is so good. And then you believe it first few times, you believe it because you try to, you know, be good. But then it's like then it get gets to you, like, they say it right away, right after ni hao or after xie xie. So it's not, it's like, I'm not saying something important here. So then, yeah, I felt like probably I'm not as good as they say. Yeah, so that's been a little bit misleading. But at first, it encourages you to speak more. And then after ni hao goes, oh, yeah, I know this and this, and I know more.
Did you figure this out like quite early on? Because in my case, like, for example, maybe because I wasn't living in China, I wasn't exposed to Chinese culture to the same extent. I've never lived in China. So part of my ego always wanted to believe that, like, and also because, like, their act is also often very dramatic. And so, like, it's like sort of like,
but also sincere.
It seems like really sincere. And so, like, part of my ego really wanted to think for a long time, like, no, maybe there is something really special about my Chinese. And like, maybe I am just like really quite good for someone who's not studied that long and this kind of thing. Did you just figure this out like early on, or did your ego also take a boost from hearing these things?
Well, it started happening right after the first word. So, like, after a few times, I'm like, yeah, 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 I know, sure, it is good, yeah, yeah. After you speak something else, like you say something else, you talk about something, then nobody says it.
You mean when you sort of start, like, going into saying, like, more complicated things, you find that, like, the praise doesn't, yeah, like, increase? If anything, it decreases. It's like, just like, we were really like,
true,
impressed by the ni hao, but now that we kind of know that you speak Chinese, it's, we're not that impressed.
Then we're gonna tell you the tones are not right, and here you didn't use this correct, and this you said wrong. So yeah, then the real stuff comes.
Mingna and Catherine, I wonder if you have any thoughts on what we've talked about so far in terms of, like, is this like a cultural trait that you were aware of, and does it exist more widely than just praising foreigners on their Chinese?
Well, I wasn't aware of this phenomenon before you mentioned to me, but I think it's kind of okay. I am not the one who would praise a foreigner on the online language exchange app by he just say to me one word like ni hao, but I can understand their reaction, because firstly, of course, it's a gesture of being polite, and also I think it's also because that for Chinese people, we didn't expect a lot of foreigners who would learn the Mandarin, because we are often be inclined to think that we are the one who should learn English to communicate with the international world. So it happens to us every time, at least it happens to me and a large amount of Chinese people, that every time we met a foreigner who is interested in the Chinese culture or Chinese language, we didn't want to like frighten them away. We want them to have more and more confidence, and more just, we want him keeping by fear encouraged, and then so they could keep learning Mandarin. Yeah,
Catherine, when I've spoken to you about this, you've had a slightly different perspective from Mingna.
Well, to be honest, I am not very sure, but according to you and Helen's experience, I'm thinking that probably it's because after you say something, for example, when you say the word ni hao, maybe they expected like nothing from you before that word, so they would praise you. But after that, they know that you really know some Chinese. So it's like their standard is risen up. So probably if you, they will start to correct you or something like that. But personally speaking, I think it's a little bit weird to compliment somebody like over one word. For example, if I just say hello to a British person and I got praised like very excitedly, okay, I may think I may be kind of surprised. Yeah,
that's what I've started doing.
This was what we, Helen, we were talking about. We sort of bonded over this issue, which was that we both started a process of doing the same back to Chinese people. In my case, when I did that, I would see, I was just interested to see whether, like, how Chinese people would react if this was just a phenomenon to do with Chinese politeness. Then would it work the other way if Chinese people just who say hello to me on tandem, what would happen if I say, wow, you speak really good English? Like, how would they react? In most cases, they react by the way you would expect from common sense, which is to be like, why would you say that? Like, you've hardly heard me say anything. But what about when you tried this experiment?
Yeah, like they felt like sometimes they felt like, oh no, it's not that good. Or they were like, oh, thank you. And then they switched because there was nothing after hello. Sometimes they want to be polite and they want to show like, yeah, like you learn our language and we learn something from your language. And then yeah, so you also want to encourage them because I know it's there's like a huge fear for people to start speaking. Like they can understand a lot, but it's really hard for them to start speaking to foreigners. And when they finally like speak out this hello for them, like it's something huge, and then it's really worth saying, yeah, wow, awesome, good job, keep going, even though it's just one word. So it's just a matter of politeness. But yeah, most of the time it was funny when they said hello and like, why would you say
Exactly. I think
that?
that so far, like, if this was just restricted to just people, me saying like ni hao, and then some people like exaggerating, giving me exaggerated praise, that's something that's like perfectly acceptable, and it's like a kind of quirky thing that you can get used to. But one way in which I think over politeness did have an impact in my Chinese experience was that many Chinese people that I met were very reluctant to ever criticize my Chinese. And for a long time, for example, like many other foreigners, my tones were absolutely horrendous. And I didn't realize because nobody told me, including lots of teachers didn't tell me, people I met didn't tell me. Even if I asked them to criticize my Chinese, people are very reluctant, like, to do that. Did you also have that experience, Helen?
Well, they often just keep asking like, what, like I keep saying something and they're like, shama, 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 and then I'm like, am I saying it wrong? Yes, you should say like this way. Oh, okay, I messed up all the tones. Yeah, it happens. It happens as well. But if like, as for me, like I was studying at the university, so our teachers were like, they cared, so we speak correctly. So of course they corrected everything. If we speak about like life out there, so of course when you meet people, nobody's gonna start telling you, oh no, this is like this thing you said wrong. Of course not. They just, if you said something wrong, they think out of the context and they just understand what you're trying to say.
I guess that's the difference then, because I'm like almost completely self-studied. I never really went through like a formal course. And so like all of the people I was relying on to tell me that my tones were terrible were like all in informal settings. And so, and it is quite difficult to like break it to someone that like, yeah, you've been working really hard on your Chinese, but like we can't even understand you. Mingna, like one thing I wanted to ask was like this trait that I'm describing where Chinese people, at least in informal settings, are very reluctant to criticize your Chinese and will give you the impression that your Chinese is perfect and has no problems, even when your tones might be horrendous, for example. Is this like a standard that's, in your experience, is applied only to foreigners by Chinese people, or is this a more wide cultural trait? Because in some ways, my understanding of Chinese culture is that, particularly in educational settings, parents can have extremely high standards of their children and peers of each other. Can you tell us a bit more about how you see that?
Well, I agree with you that Chinese parents usually have a very high standard of their kids, but that's because they count their kids as some very important person relating to themselves. It's different from like I'm meeting some guy, some foreign friend, so there is a difference between like your real kids with maybe your foreign friend or just you, some of your new acquaintance. And I think I know you describe such scenario as perhaps Chinese people hold a kind of double standard for Westerners study Mandarin. But I think if you really think that's a kind of double standard, I think it should be described as an Chinese cultural orientation, because in China there is an old saying goes like 严以律己，宽以待人, which means that you should be more forgiving and more tolerant with others while being more strict with oneself. So this could be applied to our encounter with foreigners who study Mandarin. As I mentioned before, we didn't want to hold a very high expectation or a very high criteria at the very first beginning. So, which in case you are get frightened and you probably get discouraged from being criticized. And secondly, I think another main reason, or we can say the root reason for this phenomenon, is that there is still an imbalance between the Eastern and Western cultural power. Like for the case in China, every Chinese primary school student still need to learn English from a very young age, like maybe some at six years old, some at 9 years old. But I know this is not the case in the Western countries. Like, it's more likely for you that you started to learn learn Mandarin after you becoming an adult. And language is a thing that if you started earlier, the result might get better. So we didn't want to be very picky with someone who started learning a language after they're becoming an adult. We know the difficulty there, so we didn't have that much impulse to criticize or point out your mistakes. Yeah.
Catherine, we lost you for a second, but you're back.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I got disconnected. Oh, well, I think there is something very interesting, which is, I think according to Chinese understanding of politeness, I think some people think that, you are polite to someone who is not so important or so familiar with you. You know, it's like you shouldn't be so polite with your family members or your intimate friends, which is probably a little weird. I know that Chinese parents are very interested with their children, but just as Mina said, that's because they are their children, and because they really care about their future and their children, some stuff like that. But when it comes to, for example, strangers or someone who are not so intimate with you, then maybe here, like politeness comes first. And this is a totally different attitude. My Chinese parents, for example, my parents are more open-minded, but for example, my grandfather, he always says something which I hate much. He said that I am so picky about you. I am strict with you because I care about you. So I don't compliment you, and I don't I don't want to please you. Because I want to tell you the truth, because you are important to me, but when it comes to like others, for example, strangers and some friends who are not that intimate, then people tend to more reluctant to tell the truth. Maybe here they think that politeness is more important. So maybe when Chinese people talk with you, they tend to think that it's better to be polite instead of telling you the truth. So it's kind of contradictory to the parents' way to treat their children. And so this group of people are those that they think are very close to them or very important. Because they criticize or they correct to show that they care. And that's the logic, yeah.
It's kind of like a filter then you know. If somebody's complimenting you, they just don't care. That's how
I
you
think
know.
it's yeah, I think it's like if somebody just compliments like constantly, or they just don't say anything wrong, whatever you do, maybe it's not so sincere. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to hear these
Yeah.
insights. And one thing I want to make clear is that although from the perspective of a language learner, I find some of encountering some of these traits and the difficulty of getting honest feedback frustrating. But at the same time, I think that whenever someone's learning a language, the onus is with the language learner and the person learning a new culture to learn about the traits and adapt to those new traits rather than the onus being on the culture to change. And so for me, like the important thing is to make listeners or to make Chinese learners aware of particular cultural traits that may impact on their Chinese learning and how they can best navigate them. I've mentioned a couple of ways in which I found it frustrating to get honest feedback. There's one thing I haven't yet mentioned, which I'm fascinated to hear what you guys think of, which was another trait to do with politeness and how this impacted on my Chinese learning. And that is that I always found for a long time that when I would have conversations with my language exchange partners, I would have the distinct impression that they understood me completely and that I was speaking perfectly clear Chinese with great constructions and no problems. And then I came across a language exchange partner about a year ago who suddenly didn't seem to understand anything I was saying. My initial impression was, why is she being so awkward? I'm speaking perfect Chinese and she keeps saying, I don't understand what you're saying. And because she was honest, I was able to see that what was actually happening was that my previous language exchange partners had been extremely polite and not told me that they couldn't fully understand me. And so when there were issues with my tones or when I was speaking with English constructions, they would just either try to guess what I was saying or they would say something back that was related to the theme of what we were talking about. And when I started paying closer attention, I realized it was quite clear that that was happening. That the conversations that I thought had been so meaningful and that could take place for hours were very often, not very meaningful at all, and just interactions based on misunderstandings on both sides. And that was quite a jarring realization. Helen, do you have anything like to add from your experience on this?
So many situations when I thought that I'm speaking the truth and everything's like perfect and I'm expressing myself and everyone understands me. And then when I start asking questions about particular things I've been talking about, here comes the fun. Then I was so sure that I said everything right. And then, did you talk about it? They asked me, yes, just now. So yeah, but it's all this fun makes it an experience.
Absolutely. Catherine, when I made you aware of my experiences of encountering this particular cultural trait, you were quite surprised, I think. You weren't fully aware that of the extent to which Chinese people would sort of bu dong zhuang dong is the phrase, right? Like not understand but pretend to understand when foreigners are speaking unclear Chinese.
I just didn't expect that some people would go that far. I think all has been said, the purpose of communication has to be achieved, right? If you are not communicating to exchange information and to reach some goal in the communication, then what are you doing basically? So I just can't understand if for example, if I don't understand anything, of course I will ask. Because if you just pretend that you have understood, then as the conversation goes on, then there may be a point where you can't pretend it so well anymore. Like you will be caught. Will that be a more embarrassing and more awkward? So I just can't understand. I don't know why it's implied or why are people so uncomfortable about like asking, about telling the truth that they just don't understand.
I would just say briefly on that, that I can see that there is definitely a balance to be struck in language learning, that like it's quite a high standard to expect for 100% understanding on both sides, and that to some extent, I think when you have a language exchange partner, whichever language you're studying, there's going to be some degree of guessing some of the meaning. A small percentage, I think, is acceptable. But I think what was quite jarring to me was that when I realized just how much I was being understood. And because I'm not living in China, it didn't matter so much. So it wasn't in specific situations where miscommunications would have real consequences. I think people who are living in China, maybe Helen, you could elaborate on that. Like that if you're actually living in China, it matters if you like get things wrong and people don't understand you in a kind of different way.
Okay, there's a situation that I remembered. Like, for example, you're at the store and there are two people at the counter. And like, of course, they want to practice English, but you want to practice Chinese. So you come and start speaking Chinese to like one person. And then as soon as they see you, they call for someone who can speak English. And then I'm like, no, it's okay. I can speak English. They're like, oh, all right. So then here I come. I order something. And then the first guy says, oh, like understood. And then the other guy standing next to him, like asking, like, what did she want? And he said, what him don't. But then, but at first, like I was so sure that I said everything slowly and like pretty clear. And then, what him don't. And then, so yeah, after situations like this, I'm like, am I saying it wrong? And then the other guy comes who can speak English, and I like say the same thing in Chinese one more time. And he said, ah, so she said this, and this. He tells the other guy, he said, oh, okay. So I just said the same thing in Chinese twice. I ordered the same thing in Chinese twice. And the first guy didn't understand, but the other one, like maybe he was calmer a little bit because first one was nervous. I don't know. That's a mystery.
I'm kind of surprised by Helen's mentioning about her story in China. One possible reason for me to explain is that probably it's because the waitress or the waiter in the store is very nervous. Like they didn't have a lot of opportunities or experience to interact with the foreigners. So, like you said, the first guy could get really nervous and they couldn't get what you have wanted. And also, I want to add that I think sometimes Chinese people didn't want to correct you or tell you that they didn't understand what you mean. That's because, of course, it's not the case for Helen, but I think in most cases, it's just about a degree of communication. Like if I can truly know the main part, like the topic of our conversation, then some minor parts, I think some people might tend to think that we can lift it out because it doesn't bother to the overall atmosphere about our conversation. Like for maybe you can say it's kind of being trying to reach the politeness, but we some Chinese people are really care about, like in Chinese we call 场面上好看, like the whole atmosphere should be warm, should be friendly, shouldn't be too picky about others. So under such logic, then some people didn't want to point out what they didn't understand in whole big conversation. But still, it's about the degree, like how many percent you couldn't understand. Like if that misunderstanding affects your real communication, then the conversation or the communication couldn't last, just like what you have met in China. And also, I remember once upon a time, I and Misha, we had a conversation, and he told me that we can come to eat some fried fish, but he said fried fish in Mandarin, like 甲鱼. And then I couldn't understand, or I didn't know what kind of food he's talking about, so I kept asking him. Like under such circumstances, I believe most of me And of course, most of Chinese, we would ask, what are you really talking about? Because if I didn't know what he is really trying to talking about, then I didn't know where we would go to grab some food. But if he just pronounced it with a very minor mistake, like a small deviation to the correct pronunciation, then I can still understand it. Then I wouldn't tell him the shortcoming of his pronunciation or other expression. Yeah.
I wonder whether either of you, Catherine and Mingna, have you had similar experiences with English people? Because you both live in the UK. People from the UK are also famous for being very polite. But have you had this kind of politeness? Have you been on the end of this kind of politeness or not?
Well, I think the most obvious politeness you guys have and I couldn't understand is the small talk. Like, I still didn't understand why two people met on the street, they should talk about, spend like 5 or 10 minutes at least talking about weather or some news around the city, around the country. I googled it yesterday and it says like the definition of small talk is a polite conversation with unimportant topics, like those topics you don't really care about. But I also googled some articles who is in for advocacy for this small talk, because they said that this talk is, it doesn't happen for the purpose of chilling communication. It happens for being politeness. It's kind of like a social communication. So even if it isn't important, the topic is very minor and trivial, not important. But and I found some research says that small talk, also you didn't talk about any serious stuff in the conversation, but it can be helpful for your mood. It can make you happier for the whole day. I don't know, maybe I will try to experience it, but currently I'm still not a fan for small talk.
Depending on how many of the small talks you had during the day, the more small talks you have, the better mood you have.
Apparently. I mean, I'm from the UK and I also don't like small talk.
I don't like small talk either, because really I think it's very... It's hard for me to pick up the small talks, because, as Mina said, it's just it doesn't have any concrete meaning. You're just randomly talking about something like again and again. It's like you are repeating the same conversations with many people around the day. So, I don't like it quite much. But another experience is that I don't know, because in China some people say that I am kind of too polite. That means that doesn't mean that I am like traditionally polite in their notion, but because I say a lot of things like a thank you and sorry, stuff like that. But just as I have said, Chinese people are not so used to using these politeness phrases to people they are close to. So sometimes they think that I'm pushing them away by saying too much like thank you and sorry. But here in the UK, I find that people take it very well. I don't think my British friends have the problem of thinking that I am pushing them away, or I am being too lofty or indifferent by saying so many politeness phrases such as thank you and sorry. In China, my friend said that, well, Catherine is the person who will say sorry to a lamp stamp if she runs into it, something like that. But I think here people take it really well, and nobody said such things to me. Yeah, I have troubles so with other things such as the small talk and stuff.
I want to add one thing about Catherine's words. Like you just mentioned that if you say some polite phrases to others, they'll think that you create a distance between you and theirs and others. But I think that still depends on whom you are really talking to. Like if you say a lot of thank you or sorry to your intimate friends or family members, it could become a little bit weird, I think, but it's okay to say a lot of thank yous to strangers or to some people you just met for once or twice. So I still think that's the distinction for Chinese people between we can say the intimate inner circle and the less intimate, more friendly, more social circle. Like for those two circles, we would create a different distance of being polite. And we would do the different things, say different words to them. And maybe that's one thing trans people would kind of pose a double standard. Like if you are my guys, in Chinese we call 你是自己人, my guys, then we would be very strict and sometimes very honest or even picky with you. But if you are just some guy we would met for once or twice, or just some normal regular friends who isn't that important to us, then the criteria could be much lower and much more tolerant.
As I listen to all of this and also reflect on my own language journey, I guess I would summarize my advice for new learners who are going to need to navigate Chinese culture and politeness in terms of their own language journeys. The main advice I would give is to be aware of it, not to allow any of it to affect your ego, and to be aware of the danger of over politeness in terms of people not making you aware that your Chinese is not as clear as you might think it is. So those are the main things that I would summarize. Helen, do you have anything to add in terms of what you would say to any learners listening?
Yeah, I would say that there should be a balance, between people who start learning Chinese and their teachers, or just people they hang out with. Like as for me, if I would just start learning Chinese, and if I would hear from everyone around me that I'm saying everything wrong, then I would probably just give up. But if this would be in a balance, like my teachers point out my mistakes and my friends just praise me and tell me, wow, you're doing good. So with this balance, I think it would just be better instead of not hearing, wow, your Chinese is so good at all. And between top and bottom, I would choose the middle. Yeah, so this would encourage people to learn and speak better and not to be afraid.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today. And but thank you, Helen, for your insights and stories from your experiences of learning Chinese in China. And Ming and Catherine, for your insights into different aspects of polite Chinese culture. So once again, thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Am I being polite?
Hey there, thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter. Run by me and my friend Will Hart, we share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese within a 1.5-year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.